Assalamu alaikum everyone. I think we'll make a start inshallah. Today inshallah will be our third session of this term. We're going through lessons from Imam Ghazali's Ihya. Jazakum Allah khair for coming. Tafadhal Sheikh.
Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala dhikrahu tama'ninatan lil qulub wa jila'an laha dharain al-dhunub wa mataratan li waswasil khannas al-makdhub. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب أما بعد فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء كعرض السماء والأرض أعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, vie with one another in seeking to attain your Lord's forgiveness and guidance, whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth, one which has been prepared for those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. That is Allah's bounty which He bestows upon those whom He pleases. Allah is the Lord of all abounding bounty. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنِّي لَكُم مِّنْهُ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ. Flee therefore to Allah. Surely I am a clear warner to you. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to lecture number 38 in our series on Ikhlas and its related subjects. Last week we continued reading from the chapter Bayanu anna an-niyyata ghayra dakhilatin tahta al-ikhtiyar. The exposition of the fact that intention is beyond choice. In that we recounted the salient points of the chapter to keep in mind, which were with the example of seeking marriage for the better reasons. And the main point there was that in order to acquire the ability to foster superior goals, we must engage our minds and hearts in three things. And those three things were, first, strengthening our belief in the revelation, in the guidance, strengthening our belief in the guidance, in the reflection and pondering on the source of it, that this is a guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so strengthening our belief in that. The second was to increase and strengthen our knowledge and consciousness of the greater fada'il, the greater virtues, the higher virtues for loftier deeds, and so that our minds can settle on the higher goals and not be cluttered with virtues of the vanishing world. And then the third was by strengthening our understanding and resolve to dismiss contradictory thinking, contradictory thoughts. And in that vein, we emphasize the need to foster what is known as daf'ul munaffirat, to build the capacity to rebel and dismiss contradictory thoughts, thoughts that run contrary to your higher goals. For example, the self-centered thoughts of not having children because it's a difficult thing or because it's of high cost in childcare, etc. These are contradictory thoughts and thoughts that should be challenged and dismissed in favor of more noble thoughts in regard to having children, that is, such as thoughts of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, "An-nikah min sunnati," that marriage is of my sunnah, and whosoever neglects this sunnah, then he is not my father. Walaysa minni, he is not from among me. And also the Prophet, another noble thought in that is that to partake in the fulfilling of his wish. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, "Inni mukathurum bikum al-umam," that I will outnumber the nations on the day of judgment. So to be party to that, of fulfilling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's wish. In the remainder of that chapter, there were five more notable points. The first was the importance of perspectives. إذا تغير النظر تغير النية. If the نية تتبع النظر, that the perspective that you will have will affect the intention. So if the perspective changes, then so does the intention. So intention follows one's perspective. We had the story of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, where he was able to modify his perspective from hadith scrutiny to seeking to tarbiyah and tazkiyah. The second point was to recognize that the intention is to action what soul is to body. I repeat that. Intention is to action what soul is to body. In other words, actions without good intentions are like bodies without souls. So working to foster higher and better intentions is like putting better and better life into a body. And the strength of that intention will determine the magnitude of the reward. فَيَكُونُ ثَوَابُهُ بِقَدْرِ رَغْبَتِهِ وَنِيَتِهِ. Point number three was that the highest and most noble intention is seeking to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is most deserving of all obedience. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most deserving of worship. Ijniyatu ijlalillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala liistikhakihi atta'ata wal'ubudiyata. Obedience with the intention of glorifying Allah, for He is most deserving. وهذه أعز النيات وأعلاها. This is the most honorable and cherished and highest of intentions. And here, Imam Ghazali gives three anecdotes to drive home the point. He says, حُقِعَ أن أحمد بن حضروي رأى ربه تعالى في المنام فقال كل الناس يطلبون مني الجنة إلا بيزيد فإنه يطلبني. Someone saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to him in the dream, and he said to him that everyone is asking Jannah, but this particular person is asking for him, for himself, or asking for Allah. وروى أبو يزيد ربه في المنام فقال يا ربي كيف الطريق إليك. This person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the path towards you, O Allah? And Allah says, اترك نفسك وتعال إليّ. Leave yourself. In other words, leave all the desires and the yearnings for the things around you, and then you will come to me, and then come to me. That is the path towards me. وروي أن شبلي بعد موته في المنام. Shibli was asked, someone saw him in a dream, asking him, ما فعل ربك بك? That what did Allah do with you? فقال, لم يطالبني على الدعاوى بالبرهان. He said, He didn't ask me to prove any of the claims I made with evidence, except one. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ قَوْلٍ وَاحِدٍ قُلْتُ يَوْمًا, that I had said once, that أَيُّ خَسَارَةٍ أَعْضَمُ مِنْ خَسَارَةِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَيُّ خَسَارَةٍ أَعْضَمُ مِنْ خُسْرَانِ الْجَنَّةِ, that which loss would be greater than the losing of heaven. And then, so Allah said, أَيُّ خَسَارَةٍ أَعْضَمُ مِنْ خُسْرَانِ لِقَائِي, that which loss can be greater than the loss of meeting me. Meeting Allah, in other words, meeting Allah with Allah's entering into Allah's mercy and being entering into the compassion of Allah with Allah's love. That is the liqa, a pleasant liqa, a pleasant meeting with Allah. Now, to give you further context and comparisons here, I want you to think about this for a moment. This is in relation to Jannah. The pleasures of Jannah are beyond imagination. All the things that we can imagine, the most enjoyable things in the world, we all seek enjoyable things. We look for enjoyment and entertainment, things that we enjoy. But all of those are eclipsed by what will be in Jannah. For we are told in the Quran, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That no soul knows what has been hidden for them of comfort for the eyes, as rewards for what they used to do. That in Jannah, that will be, this is further explained in Hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قال الله تعالى أعددت لعبادي الصالحين, that I prepared for my pious servants ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر, that I have created for my pious servants what no eyes has seen, no ears has heard, and no heart has conceived. So this is beyond our ability to imagine. And there we will suffer none of the limitations of this world. You know, من يدخل الجنة ينعم فيها ينعم فيها لا يبأس, that the one who enters into paradise will enjoy it and he will not find any difficulty in it. لا تبلى ثيابه, like we wear clothes, we buy the best clothes here, but then after a while it wears out. There it will not. لا تبلى ثيابه ولا يفنى شبابه, and his youth it does not diminish. He remains in a state of youthful health. And then, إِنَّ لَكُمْ أَن تَصِحُّوا فَلَا تَسْأَمُوا وَتَحْيُوا فَلَا تَمُوتُوا, that you, in there you will live, you will live in perfect health with no sickness, with no ill. In this world, Allah, this is the world of test. And in the world of test, we have إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that with hardship, with good, and فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that you have hardships with ease. Hardship with ease. You have good with difficulty. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, that I will test you with loss of wealth and family and things that you love in this world. So this world is a test. We have beauty in this world, but it comes. When a beautiful rose comes with thorns, the rose in Jannah will not have a thorn. But this one is, so you can either focus on the thorn or on the rose, the beauty of the rose. And that's what we need to do, is to focus on the rose. And know, and when we think about the thorn, think about the fact that this is the nature of this world, that it comes with both. It comes with the beauty and the fragrance of the rose, but with the thorn as well. So the boundaries of Jannah, the point that I'm making here is that the bounties of Jannah will be such that it will make you forget the hardships and difficulties of this world. And it will seem like nothing, as we are told in Hadith, you know, that يُؤْتَى يُؤْتَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِأَنْعَمِ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا. You know, the person who have enjoyed the most in this world. Imagine, and we're not talking about the billionaires of today, we're talking about people of all. If you took all of human history, from Adam alayhi salam to the last person that will live on the planet, and then you find the one who had the most, who enjoyed the most, but he was unbeliever. The unbeliever who enjoyed the most in this world, that person will be dipped, غَمْسَةً وَاحِدَةً, he will dipped into Jahannam for just one moment, and then he will be asked, هَلْ أَصَابَكَ نَعِيمٌ قَطْ, have you ever enjoyed anything? And he would say, no, that مَا أَصَابَنِي نَعِيمٌ قَطْ, that I've never tasted any ease or any hajj, any pleasure. I know nothing of comfort. That will be the effect of Jahannam. And conversely, on the other side, يُؤْتَى بِأَشَدِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ ضُرًّا وَبَلَى, that the person who suffered the most, of the believers, of the Muslims, the one who suffered the most in the world. Here again, the entire history of humanity, from the beginning, from Adam alayhi salam till the end of time, if you were to survey everyone and find out which one suffered the most, imagine that, a human being who suffered the most in all of human history, and you picked him up, and he will be picked up on the Day of Judgment, and then he will be, فَيُغْمَسُ فِيهِ فِيهَا أَيْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, he will be dipped into Jannah just one moment, فَيُقَالُ لَهُ أَيْ فُلَانٌ أَيْ فُلَانٌ هَلْ أَصَابَكَ ضُرٌّ قَطْ, have you ever suffered any difficulty, or trials or tribulations in the world, any hardship? And he will say, فَيَقُولُ مَا أَصَابَنِي قَطٌ ضُرٌّ وَلَا بَلَى, that I have never suffered anything. That just one moment, he said, I have never suffered any hardship or any difficulty. That would be the effect of, that's the effective quality of the na'im, of the bounties in Jannah, that it will make us forget everything all we have suffered here. Now, this is to give you an idea of the level of na'im, the level of bounty in Jannah, right? And then, in relation to the na'im, the bounty that is beyond that. Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ, that for those who do good, that they will get their reward of good, وَزِيَادَ, and they will get more. In relation to that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةَ, that when the people of Jannah will enter into Jannah, نَادَى مُنَادٍ إِنَّ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَوْعِدًا, and then someone will proclaim and say, oh, you have now that there is an appointment with Allah. يُرِيدُ أَن يُنْجِزَكُمُ أَن يُنْجِزَكُمُهُ, that he wants to reward you. فَقَالُوا, and then they will say, أَلَمْ تُبَيِّضْ وُجُوهَنَا وَتُنَجِّنَا مِنَ النَّارِ وَتُدْخِلَنَا الْجَنَّةِ, and they will say, did you not brighten our faces, and did you not save us from the fire, and did you not enter into paradise? Na'im, what could there be that you want to give us? You've given us everything. When they've seen all this, that na'im that made the person who suffered more, that bounty in Jannah that made the person who suffered the worst in this world forget everything, that will be in front of them, and they will say, well, what could it be? And then, فَقَالْ فَيُكْشَفُ الْحِجَابِ, and then the veils will be lifted. فَقَالَ, and then Rasulullah said, the veils will be lifted, as in they will be able, excuse me, they will be able to have an audience with the Divine, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that happens, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore, he took an oath, he said, فَوَاللَّهِ, فَوَاللَّهِ, he's saying that I swear in the name of Allah, that I'm saying, وَاللَّهِ مَا أَعْطَاهُمُ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا, that Allah did not give them anything, anything in all of Jannah, in all of this that we have been talking about, nothing of this, مَا أَعْطَاهُمُ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظْرِ إِلَيْهِ, that nothing was more beautiful and more sweet and more enjoyable than to look upon the countenance of Allah, to have that audience with Allah. That will be the most pleasurable experience that you will have in Jannah. This is of course in Jannah, but in this world that is veiled, but we can still enjoy the sweetness of divine proximity to the divine, of proximity to Allah, qurb min Allah. That qurb is there, seeking Allah in your intention, seeking Allah with love and devotion, has joys that are beyond all joys in this world. The scholars used to relish this, and they used to marvel in the beauty of it, in the sweetness of it, so much so that Imam Ibrahim ibn Adham said that لو يعلم الملوك وأبناء الملوك لو يعلم الملوك وأبناء الملوك ملوك ما نحن فيه من النعيم لجادلون عليها بالسيوف, that if the kings and the princes knew what we enjoy of bounty in their ibadah, in their audience with Allah, in their closeness to Allah, in their ibadah, he said, لَجَادَلُونَ عَلَيْهِ بِالسِّيُوفِ, that they would fight us for it with swords. They will use swords to get it, because what do kings and princes want? They are seeking the pleasures of this world, everything that is pleasurable. And if they knew the extent of the pleasure that we get from our interaction, from our ibadah, from our salah, from our Quran, then لَجَادَلُونَ عَلَيْهِ, they would fight us for it with swords. They used to pity those who were denied this joy. One of the Salihin said, مَسَاكِينُ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا, that these poor people of the dunya, in other words, the people who do not believe or who do not recognize Allah, he used to say, مَسَاكِينُ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا, خَرَجُوا مِنْهَا وَمَذَقُوا أَطْيَبَ مَا فِيهَا, that they leave the world without tasting the sweetest, the best of it. They have not tasted it. قِيلَ وَمَا أَطْيَبُ فِيهَا, and when they ask, what is the sweetest of it? What is the most enjoyable? What is the greatest pleasure of this world? قَالُوا مَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَمَعْرِفَتُهُ وَذِكْرُهُ, that recognizing Allah, that pleasure of recognizing your Allah, that pleasure of knowing Allah, that pleasure of dhikr of Allah, of remembering Allah. Now, so that's what they used to say. And the great scholar, the Nun al-Musri, says that كما لا يجد كما لا يجد الجسد. And now he's explaining this that happens in general, the difference between people and the difference between the one who recognizes this, the value of proximity, of qurb min Allah, of being in the presence of Allah, of recognizing that Allah is seeing you with intention, love, and dedication to Allah. He says, كما لا يجد الجسد لذة الطعام عند سقمه. Just as the person does not find the joy of food when he is sick, the body does not taste the sweetness of the food when the body is sick. When someone is ill and you give them the best, the most delicious food, it tastes bland to them. It doesn't taste wild. It doesn't taste good. He said that. So he's saying, كما لا يجد الجسد لذة الطعام. It doesn't find the لذة, the pleasure of the sweetness, the deliciousness of the food. When you are ill, you don't taste it. You lose your taste. He said, كذلك. It is exactly like this. لا يجد القلب, that the heart does not find حلاوة العبادة, the sweetness of عبادتي, the sweetness of worship, مع الدنوب, with sins. We don't taste it. We don't taste the sweetness of this ibadah. Whereas both are nourishment. That the food is a nourishment for the body, and the ibadah is a nourishment for the soul. But we're denied that. We're denied that for a reason. And that reason is that sin. The reason is clutter. The food is enjoyable when one is in good health. But when we are ill, the most delicious and sweetest food is bland and tasteless. Food for the soul, the heart, are also sweet and delicious. But when the hearts are ill with sin and love for the world, that food, the nourishment for the soul, feels bland and tasteless. But then when the heart is cleaned, when the heart is cleansed from the clutter of sin with tawbah, then the joys of spiritual nourishment can be tasted and can be enjoyed in the way like the other pleasures, that in a way that the other pleasures of this world will not come anywhere close to it. It will surpass all the pleasures of this world. Now, let's take a moment to reflect on this. Let's reflect on our hedonic experience. Do you know what hedonic means? Anybody know? Your hedonic is your things that pertains to or relates to your sense of things being pleasant and unpleasant in life. So, in relation to food, the enjoyment of food, that's a hedonic experience. And our enjoyment is not only based on the taste stimuli in the food. It also depends on other factors. And the reason, well, you will know what, we'll come back to the reason why I'm telling you this. It is also based on perception, labeling of the kinds of food, the kind of labelings we have in our hearts and minds for the food. How we label different foods in our mind plays a significant role in the way we experience them. A few years ago, there was an interesting study conducted right here in Oxford at the Nuffield, the Department of Clinical Neuroscience. And they were looking at the effect of cognition and language on actual taste. Yeah. Because the effective properties of food are not the only determinants of how you will experience it, whether you will enjoy it, whether it will be pleasurable or not. That there are other factors, the top-down factors. They were investigating whether there are other factors. And so they scanned people's brains where they tasted substances that were labeled in different ways. And for the particular substance, one substance, they had two sets of labels. In one label, and this was for a umami flavor, the MSG type taste, they labeled it rich and delicious taste. That was one label. So and then they gave you, and they, while they were scanning brains. So this was a research not only based on people self-reporting about how tasty it was, but the mechanisms in the brain. There are mechanisms in the brain that you can scan and recognize. There's an area in the orbital prefrontal cortex. It's a subcortical area. It's called the ventral stratum, where you can measure the level of pleasure that a person is deriving from a particular substance, right, due to blood oxidation, etc. So they labeled this this one substance rich and delicious taste, and also the same substance was labeled boiled vegetable water. Right. So what do you think happened? What do you think was the outcome of the pleasure? We'll put that in modern terms. Not modern terms, but in Desi terms. If I had one plate of biryani, and I labeled it traditional spicy biryani, and the same plate of food I labeled it meat and spices in boiled rice, that will give you two different results. So what did they find? In the research, what they found was that people's reporting that the in the orbital frontal cortex, in this subcortical area that I'm telling you about, that the activity increased and their understanding of it changed. Their pleasure, the pleasure that they derived from the same food, changed on the basis of how they perceived it. You know what we said earlier, تَتْبَعَ النِّيَّةُ تَتْبَعَ النَّظَرُ, that the perspective follows, the intention follows the perspective, but it also affects your interaction, your engagement with it, the experience you have. So when the food is labeled rich and taste, rich and delicious, it increases the taste stimuli of the food and the value of the experience. It was more enjoyable, and this was confirmed also in the brain activity. So now, why am I telling you this? In fact, I brought the link to show you the difference. Look, if you see that green spike that's going up there, that's how much more they enjoyed it. If you can see, this is how much more you enjoyed it. Now, the reason I'm showing you this is that changes of our perspective can change and to help us build our appreciation and our experience with our ibadah. Is that this can, or if we change our perspective about our ibadah, our acts of worship, if we were to label our ibadah as we tend to do in our minds, only as chores, as tasks, as duties and responsibilities, then we are less likely to enjoy or taste the sweetness in it. If instead of labeling our ibadah merely as chores, we begin to look at it in our mind's eye as valuable gifts, as gifts of tawfiq from Allah, then we will, inshallah, begin to enjoy and taste the sweetness in it. If we consider our prayers, our reciting of Quran, our dhikr, as blessings, as honors from Allah, who has made it possible for us to do it, then we will begin to experience one of the greatest pleasures in this world, the pleasure of intimacy and proximity with Allah, of being close to our Creator. We need to change, therefore, the labels and the perspectives in our mind. For example, instead of seeing the place of sajda as the place where you put your head, we should see prostration as a portal for closeness to Allah. While reflecting on the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, what did he say? أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ فَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى. That the closest the servant is to his Lord is when he is in sajda. So if you see your sajda, not only the place where you put your head for salah to complete the chore or the ritual, but this is a portal, this is a place, this should bring joy to your heart, that look, this is something else that Allah has given me, this is something special. This joy alone should be enough to eclipse the other joys in the world. We must recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy and compassion, has given us a place where we can feel closeness to Him. Everywhere, all you have to do is go in sajda. That place is sajda. Another example, we can derive joy from the words that Allah has taught us to say in prayer. Words of prayer that He has shared between Himself and us. He says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ نِصْفُهَا لِي ونصفها لعبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. That I've distributed, I've shared the salah, the fatiha, and listen to the love and affection in these words. He's saying that I've shared the salah, the fatiha, between myself and my servant. And for my servant is that which he asks. Now, can you see the loving tone of this word, of these words? The joy of knowing that when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that Allah is responding, Allah is saying to the angels, Hamidani Abdi, that my servant has praised me. And when we say Rahmanir Rahim, he says, Athna alayya abdi, oh, my servant has spoken well of me. And when we say Maliki yawmiddin, he says, Majadani abdi, my servant has glorified me. And when I say Ihdina sirat al mustaqim, Allah says, this is between me and my servant. Hadha bayni wa bayna abdi. And when at the end he says, Ihdina sirat al ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al maghdubi alayhim wa ladhdallin, he said that this wa li abdi ma sa'al, that my servant will get what he asked. Now, this instead of thinking about in salah, as we tend to do, about exams and all sorts of other things, while reciting the surah Fatiha, we should have these words of live communication with Allah in our hearts and feel the joy of knowing that Allah is listening and responding live as the words are pronounced in our mouth. As they are pronounced in our mouth, Allah is listening and responding live to each one of us. And there's no limitation on this intention, because this is another thing that Shaitan comes and says to you, oh, why will Allah, there's so many of us reading, well, how will he listen? Allah's attention is not limited like ours. He can listen to everyone, anyone who is praying, all at once, and still respond to all at once. Knowing that Allah is listening and responding should bring joy and sweetness to our prayers. This is the kind of joy that the scholars were referring to when he said that, when they said that the kings and the princes would, you know, fight us. They, if they knew the kind of joy that we enjoy, they would fight us with swords. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to enjoy the closeness to Him in our ibadah, the closeness in sajda, and to relish and adore reciting His words, and to taste the sweetness in His remembrance, in His dhikr. For there is certainly no pleasure on the face of the planet like it. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. There is sweetness to be had in everything we do for the sake of Allah. I repeat that. There is sweetness, enjoyment, and pleasure to be had in everything we do for the sake of Allah. Starting from our iman. And this is the words of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said that there is sweetness to be had in our iman. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَّنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. That three characteristics, a person who has three things, then وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, he will find the sweetness of iman. You will experience the sweetness of iman if there's three things in you. One of these three things, ثَلَاثٌ, said first, أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا, that Allah and His Prophet should be more beloved to you than everyone else. That is the first one, to love Allah and His Prophet more than everyone else, that uppermost. So it's a question of heart. This is about heart. This is about where your heart is. And then if your heart, if you can muster that, if you can foster that love, then you will taste the sweetness of iman, as Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, حلاوة الإيمان. The second one, أن يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله. That you to love someone for the sake of Allah. Because we love, when you, the object of your love, everything that is connected to the object of your love should be beloved to you. محبوب المحبوب محبوب. The beloved of the beloved is beloved. So you love someone because that person is a believer in Allah. That person is a servant of Allah. I love Allah and I love all of Allah's servants. I love this person because he worships Allah, but because she worships Allah, she's sincere. He is sincere. He prays to Allah. I love that person because of that. I love that person because of their iman. So it is the connections that you can build love for the sake of Allah. That is it. That's the second point. And the third one is also in the heart, is to have dislike and disdain and to hate the returning to kufr. كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَن يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. that to hate going into kufr, going into disbelief, as much as you hate going into the fire. So, you know, the story I said about loving things, that everything that is connected. You remember the poem that I read to you in the earlier sessions, that amurru ala diyari dilal layla, that Majnun said that, you know, I pass the dwellings of Layla, or qabbilu dal jidara, I'm kissing the walls of the dwellings in the city where Layla lives. And وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارَ شَخَفْنَ قَلْبِي. But it's not the love of these walls and these dwellings that has fascinated my heart. وَلَكِنْ حُبَّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارَ. But the love of the one who lives in these dwellings. So it is anything that is connected to Allah should be beloved. And anything that is against, that takes you away from Allah, then we should have, there should be a rejection, a repulsion in the heart towards it, a karahiya, a dislike, and that's the configuration of the heart. If you have this, then you will taste the iman, you will taste the sweetness of the iman. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Now the fourth point was that if one is not able to make a high level intention, this is Imam Ghazali now coming back to Imam Ghazali, saying that if one is not able to make a high level intention, then they must not lose hope. You must not become despondent. Because this is a journey and an ongoing battle with shaitan. And we have to pace ourselves and not fall into the trap of overdoing and then suffer burnouts. In other words, to avoid going into extreme. So if we find ourselves, if we find that the higher intention is not present in our heart at a given moment, then settle for the next best thing. The next best thing, and if the intention is not, is to take a rest and then plan to use your invigorated body after resting for ibadah at a later stage, then so be it. Because أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْقَلْ. That the most beloved of actions in the eyes of Allah are those that are consistent, that those that are constant. وَإِنْقَلْ. Even if it's a small amount, but you do it regularly, because إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى, that mountains are built from pebbles, but you have to continue doing it. So that's it. And then he reminds us, Imam Ghazali reminded us of the statements of Abu Darda and Sayyidina Ali, where Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَجِمُّ نَفْسِي بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ اللَّهُ. That I give myself some relaxation with some sort of play, some sort of free play, things that he can relax. فَيَكُونُ ذَلِكَ عَوْنًا لِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ. That then that becomes an assistance for me for practicing, for doing good deeds, for doing things. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, رَوَّحُ الْقُلُوبِ فَإِنَّهَا إِذَا أُكْرِهَتْ عُمِيَتْ. That give your heart a rest as well. That because if it is forced continuously, then it will become blind. Now, further on in the chapter, Imam Ghazali explains this point with examples from the field of medicine, from chess, and from battle strategies. He says that recognizing these subtleties of when and how to exercise control and restraint is not easy. And, you know, he says that it's a difficult task. Only expert scholars, all scholars, he said, experts in the field of tazkiyah and tarbiyah will recognize the benefit of pacing yourself. And that is why the general advice is that you should find yourself a guide, as one who will be able to tell you, because often we go into extreme and not realizing that we have done so. So the general advice is to find a guide and not to try to navigate the rough seas of tarbiyah and tazkiyah on your own. Because as time passes, the age of fitan, the age of corruption and confusion increases. This is what is This is the prophesied by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then this is why the scholars say, "Man laysa lahu shaykhun, man laysa lahu shaykhun, fash-shaytanu shaykhuhu." That the one who does not have a sheikh, someone to guide them, then often shaitan becomes his sheikh, because he tricks him. You know, the increase of fitan can lead you into stumbling, into traps, as he trapped our father Adam alayhi salam. So no one should see themselves above the trickery of shaitan. No one should see that. If Adam alayhi salam in Jannah, having been given guidance by Allah, is still trapped, then who are we and you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Kayfa antum?" You know, in the hadith, "Kayfa antum idha tagha nisa'ukum wa fasaqa shababukum wa taraka wa taraktum jihadakum?" Qalu wa inna dhalika ka'inun ya Rasulullah. That how will you be? He's speaking to the Sahaba. In other words, your descendants, your the Muslims of the future. How will you be when your women have become rebellious and your youth have become sinful and you have left your struggles, the struggles for deen? And they said, "Oh, can that be? Wa inna dhalika ka'in ya Rasulullah. Would such thing happen?" And he said, "Na'am, yes, of course. Walladhi nafsi biyadihi, I swear in whose hand my life is. Wa ashaddu minhu sayakun, and worse than that will happen." وَقَالُوا وَمَا أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ يَا What could be worse than that? They said, and he said, قَالْ كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا لَمْ تَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَمْ تَنْهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ He said, وَلَمْ تَنْهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ That how will you be when you did not enjoin towards good and forbid evil? And فَقَالُوا وَكَائِنٌ ذَلِكَ Will that happen, O Rasulullah? He said, yes, na'am, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ وَأَشَدُّ مِنْهُ سَيَكُونَ And even worse than that will happen, I swear. And they said, كَيْفَ And then he said, كَيْفَ وَأَنْتُمْ إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرًا وَالْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا That how will you be when you start seeing, when you start seeing evil as good and good as evil, as we are seeing today in the world, where the values are turning upside down. Black is white and white is black and dark is light and light is dark. All the things are being turned upside down. So when they heard that, they said, "Oh, قَالُوا وَكَائِنٌ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Would something like that happen? And he said, "نَعَمْ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ وَأَشَدُّ مِنْهُ سَيَكُونَ And even worse than that will happen. قَالُوا وَكَيْفَ قَالَ He said, "وَكَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا أَمَرْتُمْ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَنَهَيْتُمْ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ And how will you be when you will give, when you will enjoin towards evil and forbid good? He said that will also happen. قالوا will such a thing happen? قال يا رسول الله قال نعم والذي نفسي بيده وأشد منه سيكون And then even worse than that will happen, I swear. And they said, how would that happen? قال بي حلفت لا تينهم فتنة يصير الحليم العاقل فيها حيران He said that fitna will come on them and send them a fitna. That even the intellectual, even the one with intellect, the wise one, will become confused, hayran. So fitna will continue. So we should not see ourselves as over and above that or safe from it. No. Now the point is that we need help with wisdom and guidance because shaitan can trick us. And as Rasulullah ﷺ prophesied, that this will happen as he tricked our father Adam. So Imam Ghazali says that هَذِهِ دَقَائِقُ لَا يُدْرِكُهَا إِلَّا سَمَسِرَةُ الْعُلَمَى Except the chosen, very few scholars, دُونَ الْحَشْوِيَةِ مِنْهُمْ That not the general flow of scholars, بَلْ الْحَاذِقْ بِالْتِبْ And then he gives the example of an expert medic, a doctor, a physician, يُعَالِجُ الْمَحْرُورِ بِاللَّحْمِ مَعَ الْحَرَارَةِ In the old tib, in the old medicine, the diagnosis were based on temperatures. So when a person has a fever, you give them foods that would cool them down. But he said sometimes you would find a doctor who will give him lahm, give him meat, and a green doctor, someone who doesn't really understand what's going on, he will see this and think, oh, this is craziness. What are you doing? The person has fever and you're giving them meat. But that person, the doctor with the greater understanding, will know innama yabtaghi bidhalik an yu'ida awalan because he's not only suffering from fever, but he has weakness, and you have to build up his strength first before you treat him with the opposite. Because treatments are with the opposite, so you build them up first and then treat. So he said, "Wal hadhik," and so it is for "wal hadhik fi la'bi shatranj." A person who is an expert in playing chess, you will find that they might give some pawns in it to reach a goal. And so likewise for a person, "Wal da'ifu bil basira yadhak," and a person who doesn't understand this might laugh and say, "Oh, he's losing. You know, this is what is happening." But "wa yata'ajjab minhu kadhalika al khabir bil qital," and a person who is an expert with battle strategies, He قد يفر بين يدي قراني قرينه that you might see him retreated, turning his back and running away, but that is to draw the enemy into a narrow place to to use it. And so it is with the battle of the nafs and shaitan. كذلك سلوك طريق الله تعالى كله قتال مع الشيطان. That it is all battle with shaitan. So ومعالجة للقلب وبصير الموفق يقف ومعالجة للقلب والبصير الموفق يقف فيها على لطائف من الحيل ويستبعدها الضعفاء. The one who is treating this and one who is gifted in dealing with this, he does subtle tricks to trick the with the nafs and the shaitan, but the weak person will not see this. فلا ينبغي للمريد. So it is the murid, the one who is following someone, he should not يضمر أن يضمر إنكارا على ما يراه من شيخه. That he should not keep secret a rejection in his heart for what he sees his sheikh does. Because his sheikh might does something, might see his sheikh playing or doing something, and then some sort of rejection or low thought may come in his mind for that, and not realizing what the reason for it. So if you are following someone, then you shouldn't have inkar in your heart for that thing, if you see your sheikh do something. وَلَا لِلْمُتَعَلِّمِ. And not for a student as well. And يتعرض على أستاذه, that he accuses his teacher of, you know, wasting time or doing something which doesn't seem right for him. بل ينبغي أن يقف عند حد بصيرته. He has to stay to the extent of his own experience, his own perspective, his own vision, his understanding. ولا ما لا يفهمه, what he does not understand من أحوالهما. That what he does not understand from the ahwal of the sheikh or the ahwal of his teacher, the states and conditions of his teacher, يسلمه لهما إلى أن ينكشف له أسرار ذلك. And then he leaves it and he says that, look, well, until the time comes when the secrets of this will be understood, بأن يبلغ رتبته, when he reaches that stage, وينال درجته ومن الله حسن التوفيق. And tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in conclusion, intentions can be multiple and also varied in ranking, and higher intentions is desirable, but we have an aim. We should aim to increase the value of our deeds with lofty intentions and aspirations, which is part and parcel of a Muslim's character. And also in general terms, having lofty aspirations is the characteristic of a Muslim. In the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find this. This is known as ulul himam. Lofty aspirations is a blessed characteristic of a believer. The Sahaba, they wore rags, and they suffered thirst and hunger and torture, but their aspirations were always high. They kept it all. You know, Bilal radiallahu anhu had stone on his chest, and he was being tortured, but he said, Al-Ahad, Al-Ahad, Al-Ahad. He kept it. He kept his aspiration high to Allah. When they were in tying stones on their stomach to quench their hunger, they were at the same time looking to take Islam to the corners of the earth. In the story of the Battle of Khandaq, in the Battle of Ahzab, there is a glimpse of this, of how high the ulul himam, the lofty aspirations that Allah kept in their hearts in that story. That, you know, that it's reported that لَمَّا حِينَ كَانَ حِينَ أَمَرَنَا الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِحَفْرِ الْخَنْدَقِ, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to dig the trench, because عرضت علينا في بعض الخندق صخرة, that a large boulder appeared in the trench. And this is the difficulty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered them to dig this trench, a massive trench, and then they came up in front of a boulder. And that boulder was too big, the axe could not do it, so he took it. He said, okay, give me it. He took the axe. And then he hit the axe, Nabi Sallallahu with the mirror al-Fajah, and he said, Bismillah, فَضَرَبَ ضَرْبَةً فَكَسَرَ, and then a third of it broke off when he hit it. And then he said immediately, Allah, from the spark of that flash, he saw, Allah opened for him a vision. And he says, Allahu Akbar, أُعْطِيتُ مَفَاتِيحَ الشَّامِ, that I've been given, Allahu Akbar, I've been given the keys to the Levant, to Syria and Sham, that whole area there. In the Levant, I've been given that at that time it was the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire of that time. He said, I've been given I've been given the keys of Sham, مفاتيح الشام. والله, and I swear by Allah, إني لأبصر قصورها, قصورها الحمر. And I swear by Allah, I'm seeing it's their red palaces right now. That I'm given keys and I can see their red palaces. And then ثم ضرب الثانية, and then he hit it the second time. فقطع ثلث, and then a third part ثلث, another third was broken off. And then he again he says, Allahu Akbar, أوتيت مفاتيح فارس, that I've been given the keys of Persia. والله إني لأبصر قصر المدائن الأبيض. I'm seeing now the palaces, the white palaces of Persia. And then when he hit it the final time and it broke away, قال وقال بسم الله فقطع بقية الحجر وقال الله أكبر أوتيت مفاتيح اليمن, that I've been given the keys of Yemen. والله لا إن والله إني لأبصر أبواب صنعاء من مكاني هذا الساعة. And he says, I swear by Allah, I'm seeing the doors of Sana'a, the gates of Sana'a, at this very moment from my place right here. Now that led the Sahaba to what? To ride out of the desert and took Islam. These people who are in rags, who are being attacked, when they understood this, they rode out. The Udu al-Himam, their high aspirations led them in those dire situations. These aspirations were formed that this deen will reach those places, so we will take it. And so they rode out of the desert and took Islam to conquer half of the known world, at least, well, more than half of the known world in a very short time. That high aspiration comes, it starts with seeking better and better intentions in your ibadah, in your connection, and in your experience of the sweetness of this deen. That the deen is sweet. Everything you do has joy and pleasure that you can experience. Anything you do for the sake of Allah can be pleasurable. And that is the thing to do. And that's the reason I've given you. It's not only about the quality of something, but it's the way you approach it. Your approach to it, just as the way you approach the food, if it's labeled in the wrong way, then it will not have the effect on your heart and mind. Likewise, if we approach this from the perspective of this is the final word, the final guidance for humanity, for the rest of the existence of the world. Every human being that is born from the time of prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every human being that is born on the face of this planet, his success in this world and the next, his success in the akhirah, his ultimate success, his or her success, every baby, everyone, every human being that is born in this planet, their success depends on this guidance from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Until the end of time, until the end of this planet. So, who is there to take it? It is us, it is our responsibility to exemplify it, to show the mercy of Islam, to show the bounty of Islam. But فَاكَدُ الشَّيْ لَا يُعْتِي, the one who does not have cannot give. So we must embody it. We must embody this guidance. And the way to embody it first is to have it in your heart, is to develop your love for Allah, develop your connection with Allah, seek closeness to Allah, and change your perspective. إِنَّ النَّظَرَ إِنَّ النِّيَّةَ تَتْبَعَ النَّظَرَ, that the intention follows the perspective. So change your perspective in this, and inshallah, we will benefit, we will increase in our ibadah. For those of you who, I did say this at the end of last term, but if those of you who are working, who want to work on your salah, I have a series on the Daramox Tube website in the in YouTube. It's called Daramox Tube, D-A-R-A-M-O-X, Tube. And in the playlist, you will find one on salah. Please, there are short, 15-20 minutes lectures, I think 40, or is it 80? 40? Is it 40? Yeah, 40. For developing khushu, improving your salah, you can listen to that, inshallah. Okay, let's pray. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت. خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا. نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبوء لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك وحب والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم ارزقنا لذة النظر إليك يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم ارزقنا النظر اللهم ارزقنا لذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم عنا اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا ربي يا كريم. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله وسلم على